Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that the blessing of the Lord comes upon you as you listen. Here's today's message in progress.
The veil is so thin from the flesh into the spirit. And when we tip in to spirit, the spiritual realm, there's like an ecstasy or a joy that is so alive and electrifying, it captures our heart in such a way that we don't care about what we cared about before that was happening. And my prayer, my heart's prayer, is that every one of us touch the realm of His glory. Amen. It is alive, it's active, and He sent His Son to redeem us from the curse so that we can walk in the fullness of joy in fellowship and relationship with Jesus the Father. And right now we get the Holy Spirit who leads and guides us into all truth. And I'm praying that He's leading and guiding you into all truth, and that our path stays strong in Him, and that we don't veer to the left or veer to the right, but we stay focused on what He says, what His Word has said, and what we are to say. Because when we speak His word, things shift. Mountains move and demons cower. The body of Christ is being shaken and awakened for such a time as this, positioned so that we can proclaim the good news and set ourselves free and then pull the captives out of the fire. He's equipping us right now, tonight. And when we connect in the Spirit, we know all things. Whether you understand them or not, doesn't matter. When you connect, you are connected with the mind of Christ. You know all things. And so our job is to yield completely to the fullness of His glory. And how do you do that? You have to willingly make a decision to eat and dine at the King's table. Well, what does that mean? Do you remember when Jesus said, "I have food that you know not of"? He would go away and dine in the King's courts. He would dine with the Father and eat the substance of heaven. And the problem is, many people are so carnal and fleshly, they don't even know there's food in heaven. You can fast from the natural realm and eat off the Word of God. It'll sustain you. It'll grow you. It'll help you. It'll change you. Now, come on. That's some good news. Oh, I just command all dullness to go in the name of Jesus. Awake, awake, O sleepy ones. Come alive in the presence and the power of the King Jesus Christ. Oh, we get so shy, we get so embarrassed. Oh, I don't want anybody to notice me. You know what? Pick me, Jesus. Pick me. I don't care. Just pick me. Spend some time with me, Jesus, and I want to just love on you, and I don't care what anybody else thinks. I'm past that. But I had to get past that. And my heart's cry is that we get past what people think about us. Listen, they don't like you. They will judge you. And even if you are nice and kind, you still are going to have fault because you're born into the earth curse system. But come on out of that. Dine at the King's table. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalm 1 has been rolling in me today. I woke up with it, and I was reading it and meditating in it, and I thought it was just for me, because I don't have a message. You know I don't have a message, but He's got a message. And I just got to read some of Psalm 1, because when we were in worship tonight, it came back to me. See, there's some people in here who are going through hard times. They're being pressed. They're being challenged. And I've got good news. We all do. Amen. And you know what? If we keep our eyes on Jesus, He's the author and the perfecter, and He helps us finish the race. We can't do it without Him. And when we try to get ahead of Him, it causes delay in the spirit. You may think you're propelled in the natural. You may think, you know, things are great. But I'm telling you, in Him, we live and have our being. In Him. My heart's cry is everyone experiences in Him. It'll wreck you. It'll bring you into the truth of what you are and who you are. You are an heir to the kingdom of Jesus Christ. You are a ruler. You are an ambassador. And guess what? Ambassadors don't get opinions. They don't get opinions. They speak what their master, what the king says. They don't get to decide and weigh the matter. No. Friends get to do that with Jesus and the Father. Ambassadors don't. They say what the king wants and they do what the king says. That's it. But you can be a friend of God and he'll ask you and he'll bring things up and ask you what you think about them. Isn't that cool? You don't believe me? Read your Bible. Read your Bible. What happened with Abraham? Mm-hmm. Thinking about Lot right now. Okay, I want to read a little bit out of Psalms because there's some brokenness in here. There's some hard times going on. Listen, I came out of it. I survived. I'm marked safe in Jesus Christ. Now listen, was it fun going through? Absolutely not. It hurt. Because everything I thought I knew, everything I thought was true, wasn't. All the dreams and hopes I had were burned up. Well, what do you do then? You cling to the feet of Jesus, and you grow in discernment, and you grow in listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, who will lead and guide you in every situation and bring forth victorious you. So here's the cool thing. You know, in my time when I was going through the hard times, bad things happened to me. Unfair things happened. Okay? What was the challenge was the pressing of the fire of God versus the pressing of the fire of the flesh. Now, the fire of God always has promises attached to it. The pressing of the flesh is always painful because it's filled with emotions, okay? And broken dreams and promises. I'm just being real, okay? But here's the thing. I doubt it. I doubt it. I'll try. So when it's the pressing and the fire of God, it brings forth his promises because there's a promise attached when you go through the fire. If you choose to flesh out, it hurts because then you're zoned in on your emotions and the current pain and the current situation instead of the promise of God. Now, there's promises of God. I see them hanging in the room, hanging in the room. We need to start grabbing those promises of God, writing them down, and saying, thank you, Jesus, for the promise that you gave me regarding whatever it is, a provision. You know, that could be a place to live. It could be financial support, however the Lord provides. Listen, we need to know one thing. He's our dad. And he's going to take care of us. But then there's this thing called trust. How do you trust a God you can't see? Well, there's a scripture for that, which I've memorized. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Well, that's not fun. No. It's not fun, but it's necessary because it brings growth of faith. And faith is what moves mountains. And so I see in here a mountain, and I also see your faith. And God is growing your faith because he wants you to trust in him and his word and not your own understanding. Right. What he's saying, slang term, he's got your back. Right. He's got your back. Uh-huh. He's got your back. That's a promise. Pulling it in and holding on to it and saying, okay, I do believe, but help me with my unbelief. Right. Been there?
Yeah.
Done that. How do you win? I do believe. Help me with my unbelief. Holy Spirit, I do believe your word, and I'm looking at the circumstances and they don't look good. Help me stay focused on your word. What should I be reading and what should I be speaking? because when we read it and when we speak it, it becomes alive. It's like a suit of clothes. It grows us, it fits us, and it equips us. I know that's good. That is good. Now, I could have typed something out that would never have been that good. Doesn't God love us so much? He's ministering to us tonight in here. He's equipping us, and he's actually wooing a few of you who have never trusted him before, because the devil has said, that was God that did that. Let me get to Psalm 1. Oh, praise the Lord for a pair of glasses. Here we go. Psalm 1. The tree of life. Now, this is the Passion Translation. This is, yeah, I'll take those. Thank you.
Closer.
Thank you. What delight comes to the one who follows God's ways? He won't walk in step with the wicked, nor share the sinner's way, nor be found sitting in the scorner's seat. Okay, I got to stop there, because what delight comes to the one who follows God's ways? Let me tell you something. When you're not following God's ways, there's no delight. I'm going to just tell you something. The gospel is the full package. You don't get to pick and choose which part you want to believe. You know, I'm just telling you. It's black and it's red and that's it. You know, that's it. And so if you don't agree with a certain part of the Word of God, you're not going to have that blessing. It could be preventing you from a different blessing because of an area of sin or unbelief that you're not even tapped into. Yeah. Here, I'm going to give you a little example. God gave it to me when we were in worship. Tithing. I had somebody reach out to me and said, I'm struggling financially. Why do I always struggle? Guy goes to church every week. I say, Lord, what's up with that? He goes, ask him if he tithes. And so I say, do you tithe? He goes, yes, I do. I go, do you tithe 10% or more? He goes, I tithe once in a while when I go to church. And I said, ding, ding, ding. I know what the problem is. You need to read Malachi 3. Because there's a victory key in there for you. And see, you're expecting God to bless you and help you prosper, but you are not working his system. See, there are systems in God's word that he laid out. Oh, I feel like a Holly Bailey preacher right here. That's her solutions seminar coming out. There are systems that he laid out, and if we work them, we get the benefit package.
Yes.
And so let's go back to Psalm 1. What delight comes to the one who follows God's ways? He won't walk in the step with the wicked, nor share the sinner's way, nor be found sitting at the scorner's seat. His passion is to remain true to the word of I am. Meditating day and night on the true revelation of light. Okay, I got to tell you something about that. To meditate on the revelation of light day and night means to meditate 24/7 on what is good and delightful. However, day signifies a period of enlightenment, and night signifies a period of obscurity. Both when we have the light of insight and when we seem to be in the dark, meditation is the key to unlock the revelation of God. Listen, if you're in a dark season, you need to meditate day and night on the Word of God, because it'll bring you into the light season. And then you continue to meditate day and night. We have to take the Word of God more serious than we have. Casual Christianity is causing casualties in the body of Christ. Do you tithe? Yes, I do. Well, are you half tithing? Where is the foundation of the rules of God? How come that guy wasn't taught? Because we don't talk about tithing. Because of a few people who have tainted God's word. If you have an area where there's like a, like, you know, like, I'll just use offerings because that's an easy one. You know, it, let's just say a preacher starts to get to, I'll tell you what mine is after this. If you're in, have an area where the minister starts to talk about something and you get a, is the issue you or that other person? Chances are there's a false belief system or a taint or a hook from the enemy that is causing decay, because God's word is alive and never decays. And so if you don't like to give, that's not God's problem. But you are not going to walk in the blessings of the Lord. And when I say give, I'm not talking just finances. I'm talking first fruits. I'm talking offerings. I'm talking sacrifice. I'm talking tribute gifts. You know what? It's not just 10%. Guess what? It's all His. And we get to be stewards of what He gives us. And you think He's not watching how we steward? You think He's not watching our mouth? Or our heart? Or our attitude? Or when He gives us an unction to give somebody $20, and then we pretend we're going to the bathroom because we have to think about it? I'm being real. I'm being real. See, if you're in a financial situation, there's keys. You can walk in victory. I never, ever, ever, ever lack anymore. Because I lean not on my own understanding. In all my ways, I acknowledge Him, and He makes my path straight. Now, that took working it out in the ditches, in the pain, when there was no food, when there was no stuff, you know, living, not knowing where I was going to live, trusting Him anyway, because you know what? He's my dad, and He will never, ever fail me. It's impossible. But you don't just know that. You've got to read it in the Word first and then activate it through meditation and let it be in you and on you until it comes out of you. Yes. You're not an accident. Some of you people are in here, you know, you think, oh, I was born, I'm an accident. No, you're not. God ordained your name. You're in the book of heaven. He knows the how many hours you're going to be here on earth. He knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows what your belly button looks like. He's got a destiny and a purpose for you. And the lion devil has sown, oh, you're a mistake. You're a burden. Oh, you're never going to make it in this world. Let me tell you something. That's contradictory to what God's word says. You are made in the image of God. You're not junk. Did you make a mistake? Have you ever made a mistake? Okay, if the enemy is still beating you up, you need to take your ground back. Get in your playground and grab the shovel from him and beat him over the head and tell him no more. I'm not listening to that condemning spirit. I like that. Throw some blood on him. Spray the blood of Jesus. Demons hate the blood of Jesus. They can't walk through it. They can't stand to it. They cannot even be around the blood of Jesus. And you are made in the image of Jesus Christ. So spray some blood, friends. Start cleaning up your atmosphere. Start cleaning up your home. And take back the ground and kick out the cobwebs of doubt and unbelief. And come into maturity and seat yourself in a heavenly place where you rule and reign and look down and decree and take care of the problems. We're too low level. We're looking at the bill. We're looking at the problem. We're looking at the court case and we're going, eh, no, 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 no. There came a day. I'm not kidding. I got the call from the lawyer. You may lose your kids today. I didn't even think that was possible. I was the good one. And I said, really? I need to prepare you. You may lose your kids today. And my attorney calling me, I thought, huh. I hung up the phone and I said, Lord, you know what's best. I don't. And I am giving these kids to you. I am placing them in your jurisdiction. You do what you want with them. I don't care. You know best, I don't. And if my ex is supposed to have the kids, If that's your will, not the court and not the low-level stuff, but if that's what you are ordaining, then I will be okay with it. And I took communion, dedicated my kids to the Father, went through the process, and that's not even the main part of the story. What happened that day was a spiritual matter. Years later, my kid's in trouble. Father, you remember that day? I dedicated my kids to you and put them in your jurisdiction. What are you going to do about it? Because it's not my responsibility. I took my hands off my kids on that day, and I said, I'm not going to lord over them. I taught them the best I could, but here they are, Jesus. Holy Spirit, you help me be the parent. You be their dad. You be their mom. You tell me what's right. Strategy after strategy after strategy. When my son got caught stealing, years later, Holy Spirit, what do I do about this one? You know, this is a big one. Prayed on it, prayed in tongues, and he gave me the best download ever. He never stole again after that. God knows the hearts of every person. We think, oh, well, if I just manipulate this, or oh, if I just pray hard enough or fast. No. Release it to the Father. Release it to the Father. Are you struggling with sickness? Is there somebody in here struggling with sickness right now? Release it to the Father. Command it to go. Take authority. You know, sometimes we just settle. Oh, well, it's just a sneeze. It's just a cough. It's just an ache. It's just a... None. No. What did Jesus do on the cross? He took sickness. He took it upon himself so that we could walk victoriously. So we speak to the mountain and we command that thing to go and we say, no, no sickness. You have no place here. I'm not tolerating you. And then what happens if the symptoms are still there or if the limp is still there? You know, every once in a while my limp comes back and I say, foot, be loosed in the name of Jesus. Sometimes we have to remind our body of the victory. Okay, I'm trying to get to Psalm 1, verse 2. So we're meditating on it day and light, even when it's nighttime and it feels like it's dark. I just love this. This is for some people in here tonight. He will be standing firm like a flourishing tree. So if you meditate day and night, you're going to stand firm like a flourishing tree planted by God's design, deeply rooted by the brooks of bliss. Who wants to be by the brooks of bliss? I tapped into the brooks of bliss in worship tonight. You know, I tipped in. I went through that thin veil, and there I am. At the brooks of bliss, worshiping the King of Kings and just being delighted by how good he is and how fun he is. Okay, here we go. Deeply rooted by the brooks of bliss, bearing fruit in every season of life. Okay, not just one season, every season. So the ones, here's the thing, kingdom. Fruit in every season, not just once a year. Not just in summer. Every season. That's redemption from the curse. He is never dry, never fainting, ever blessed, ever prosperous. But how different are the wicked? They are like chaff blown away by the wind. The wicked will not endure the day of judgment, for God will not defend them. Nothing they do will succeed or endure for long, for they have no part with those who walk in truth. But how different it is for the righteous. The Lord embraces their paths as they move forward, while the way of the wicked leads only to doom. The Lord embraces your path as you move forward. That's lean not on your own understanding. You're trusting him. And when you're trusting him, he's embracing your path. Even if you don't feel it or expect it or understand it, it's in the word, so it's true. And so I remember when I went through my divorce, you know, people turned on me, church people, you know, friends, you know, divorce is never fun. And I tried to keep my heart pure and not get bitter or judgy or any of that. And I tried not to have my kids pick sides. I tried to be mature and you know, did I do it right? I doubt it, but I did my best. And what I'm trying to say is I saw wickedness through that whole process. God protected my eyes from most of it. There would be stuff going on and I would be veiled to the ugliness of it because my hope is in Him. He protects me like a shield so that the wickedness couldn't land in me or on me. It was like a storm and I walked through it and didn't even know that it was hailing. You know what I mean? And what I'm saying is there was a time when this man who, he was a friend of the family and he, you know, he took Len's side and it got ugly. And I said to the Lord, I go, I can't believe this is happening. I go, I'm watching this wickedness and it seems like he gets away with it. You know, he's blatantly doing this and saying this about you. He was mocking God. And I'm like, doesn't that bother you? And you know what he said? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And so I'm like, okay, but here's what happened. This is what happened. Nothing they do will succeed or endure for long. When we're going through a trial and the bad guy's looking good, like he's got the upper hand, you're in the flesh. Because God's word says wickedness won't endure. I'm just saying, I didn't watch because I was detached from that whole thing, but I heard horrible stories about that man that mocked God. He blew his hand off, he got cancer, and he died. And I believe he's in hell. And I'm sorry for his mocking, because I, you know what? You reap what you sow. Either in heaven, in paradise, or in hell, for all eternity. Think about that. So I know there's people in here who are going through some tough stuff, but you know what? This is actually a chance to change your focus from, it's bad, poor me. When's life going to get better? You know what? Life is going to get better when you align with the Word of God. And it could be today, and it could be 6 months from now, and the only thing that's going to change is your attitude. So why go 6 months through living hell and being a victim when you can change that by redeeming your mind and growing in God? And God is challenging all of us to grow in the Word now more than ever. We are in a time, I keep saying there's like these two pillars I see in the Spirit where there's like a break before what's next. This is an equipping time to grow our spiritual muscles in God. Now, some of you are going to choose to paint the house, to redecorate, and stay busy. I'm just paraphrasing. I'm speaking plain. And some of you are going to choose, I'm going away, I'm locking away with God, and I'm not going to let him go until he blesses me. I'm going to get what I need for this season that we're in and that we're going into. And I'm not, listen, we all have gardens, we all have chores, we all have some type of work we have to do. I am not saying don't do it, but what I am saying is be careful of the prioritizing of it. I got corrected on this just recently. You know, God knows our hearts, he knows our minds, and he knows our frame, okay? And he knows our tendencies. And he corrected me because he loves me and he wants me to choose life. He didn't correct me because, oh, I've been bad. Shh, no, he's helping me position for the breakthrough and the victory of the destiny that he showed me in the books of heaven. Yes. Now, I can choose to be busy and ignore it, which I have done and I got corrected on. Okay, I made a decision that I am going after this with everything in me, and here's the thing, I can't do it without his help. Yes. I am choosing purposely to keep him first, not just in the morning for the hour, throughout the day, because there's no time in the spirit realm. And so I'm monitoring myself in the natural, and I have very strong boundaries up right now, so if you are somebody who likes to have fun with me, I'll be saying no, okay? Yeah. You know, here's what the Lord said. Clear your calendar for June. And so I already have a garage sale scheduled, okay? Had that scheduled, so that is going to be tomorrow in the next 3 days, or 3 days. But here's what he told me. You get this done every day. There's an assignment that he's given me. There's a blueprint that it came from heaven. I wrote it out, and there's things I have to do. And I have to do them every day. So I can either do it first thing in the morning or last thing in the night. But I have to do it. And what will happen if I don't do it? Will he be mad at me? Nope. Delay. There will be another delay to the blessings and the fruit of the Spirit. Now, what's more important, that thing that's so urgent, the dishes, the contract, whatever it is, the paper route, whatever it is, or what God has called us to do? And some of you are like, well, he hasn't called me to do nothing. Oh, really? Really? So you're the exception to the walk of the Spirit. So it's okay, but I'm just going to say something that he always says to me. Where were you before this happened? When you lost your edge? Where were you when you became dull? Where were you before the attack hit? What were you doing in me? Because it's always something. You know what? It's called relationship. It's ebb and flow. And so there's some ebb, and maybe the flow got delayed on your end. But you can go back. And this is what I would do. I would just say it right now. Lord, where was I before this happened? I want to be so close to you that when we talk, I remember, and I do what you say when you tell me to do it. I am so sorry that I got too busy and I forgot. Please help me, Holy Spirit. And you know my frame. So I'm asking for a double portion of help, because I really want to get this right. Because my destiny is more important than anything else in the earth, including my children and my spouse. In Jesus' name. Lord, reveal any idolatry in my heart right now. Is there something I'm so focused on that is preventing me from walking closer and deeper with you? Amen. That was Psalm 1. So, whose are these? This remind me of like leopard. I just love them. They're like fun. They're funny. Fun funs. Mine are serious. Anybody have any questions? Anybody feeling convicted, like in a bad way? Like, oh man, I wish I didn't come tonight. You probably won't admit that. But listen, if you're feeling like a little condemnation or, oh, geez, that again. You know, that's a sign that there's an issue. Like, I'm seeing, like, a car with the red light flashing. It's time to go to the mechanic and get that fixed. It's time to let him look under the hood and see what's causing you to respond in the way you're responding. Amen? Amen. Because the devil's a liar. Right. And he's the one that's pushing, you know, prodding. He knows the spot, the little ouch spot that causes us to go, yeah. Because the blah is really not what's happening now. It's stored up emotions that we need to deal with. Or hurts. Or pains. Yeah, Kim, go ahead. Sure.
So, I do feel like there's a question in the room. So I'm going back to when you said that when you're being pressed and squeezed, there's people in here being pressed and squeezed, and there's the refiner's fire coming from heaven. It brings promises, but you said then when you're in the flesh, it hurts.
Yeah.
Can you explain how to not do B, which would be in the flesh and hurting?
Yeah. So a couple things. One, you know, when you go through the refiner's fire, you can't move to the right or to the left because you'll fall off the ledge, so to speak, and you'll burn. This is parable. You need to keep your eyes on Jesus while you're walking. And he won't pull you through, but he'll guide you through, and that's called trusting him. But when you're going through that, the enemy's trying to pull you out, and once you make it through one, there's like such a trust and a faith that builds from that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like Jesus got your back, you know it because you walked it the first time. Once you walk through it the first time, it's like there is no plan B and there never will be again because he's your A, yeah. Always. Mm-hmm. And so when there's a delay or like I hear people say this, you know, I've been in this fire for years, this trial for years. Well, that's not God. That's you are in and then you move out. You get busy and you forget or you flesh out or you don't want the sliver taken out. And so you just keep pushing away or building walls. And so when you flesh out, what happens is you go around the barn again. And God gives you another opportunity to go through. And the whole design is to build trust with Jesus. That's what it's all about. And it also causes everything in the natural to rise up so that you reach for it. But it's like this training of your flesh where you just are like, no, I'm going after this promise in God no matter what. Whether it's healing, whether, you know, there's just a lot of different things. But when we flesh out, it always hurts because it's emotional pain that is, you know, like it's a repressure of an old wound or whatever. And those are designed to delay and decay. Delay and decay they're not part of the kingdom of God. That's the fallen world. You know, there is no decay or delay in heaven. Yeah, I've never seen it. We have it, but he doesn't or the kingdom doesn't. And so, you know, I know there's people that are going through trials, some hard trials. I've been through them. And like I just went through one a couple days ago. And I was laughing about it today because I thought, wow, that was a pretty easy, hard trial. You know, it was 30 minutes of trying to figure it out in the flesh and making mistakes. And then I prayed and I'm like, and then things just worked out. And then, you know what? Somebody ended up charging me too much money. But I'm like, you know what? It's God's money. It's all God's anyway. So really, they're robbing God. They're not robbing me, they're robbing God. And God watches that stuff. And so I'm not to judge or curse. I'm just like, well, you know, I did the best I could in this situation. But I thought, geez, that could have been, I looked at it today and I thought, oh yeah, that was a trial. And I didn't even realize it was a trial because you know what? When you stay in him, the trials aren't really trials. They're just a little bit of a challenge. The challenge is, Lord, I surrender this to you. I don't know what to do. Help me. What do you want to do about this? Instead of, I will figure this out, and I will get my calculator out, and I will multiply and subtract, and I will get a plan, and then, God, do you like that plan? I'm done with that stuff. That's low-level baby Christianity. We got to grow up, people. And so, just saying. So, did that help with that or no?
It did. I just kind of have a follow-up.
Okay.
So when we flesh out and we're in emotional pain. Mm-hmm. I guess what I'm hearing is maybe the better thing to do then would be ask a question because God is allowing you to maybe keep having a similar reaction that's not good. So would the better solution be like instead of decay and delay, like self-deliver, like deliverance, like what's my problem?
What I say is, what is my problem? I just ask him, what is the problem? And he'll be like, oh, you're backslid, or oh, you know, whatever. You know, and I'll be like, oh, you're right. You know, when he tells you the answer, you're not like, oh, no, I don't think so. You're like, oh, that's it. You know, it's so simple. Or he'll say, oh, you're reacting because this happened to you when you were 12. I'll be like, oh, you're right. I didn't even know that. You know, and that's called relationship. And it builds. It's not just about praying in tongues and speaking the word. It's about, Lord, what do you think about this situation? And it won't happen overnight. You won't hear his voice. Well, maybe you will. But it takes, a lot of times you just hear it in the word. It'll be like highlighted off. Like all of a sudden you'll get the scripture and you'll think of that question that you asked him. And then it's coming back in the word. Or it'll be a billboard, or it'll be a license plate. He's, you know what? He loves to talk in many different ways. Mm-hmm. He likes to have fun with us. Mm-hmm. He's not, I say, he's like the license plate. Or, you know, it'll be like, that's it, that's the answer. You know, so we need to like ungrow and not dumb down, but kid up. Yeah. You know, kid up. And it's okay to be a kid in the kingdom of God. It really is. It's okay to come to him dirty and messy and say, why do I get mad at people? And I got out there, and when I hit the pillow that night, I said, Lord, you got to help me love like you do. What is my problem? He said, you're exhausted. You've been around too much people for too many days. I'm not a people person. And I have been in conferences and, you know, close quarters. I need days alone with God. And if I don't have that, you won't see it. Maybe it will. Maybe it will manifest. Because if I don't deal with it, eventually it'll come out.
Yeah.
You know, I can mask my little, oh, yeah. Or, you know, and then, but God and I have the conversations because I want to be pure and holy. And I want to represent him and his kingdom in a godly way. I don't want to be a fake Christian who just says, oh, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, sister. No, you're having a problem. Let's work it out together. And let's go to the Father and try to find the answer. I'm tired of putting Band-Aids on things and pretending they don't happen. If I see something and it's going on in the kingdom of God and it's he says deal with it, I'm going to deal with it. Because I answer to him, not you. And you may not like it, but I don't care. I don't care if you like me or don't like me. I got delivered of that. Guess when? When I went through the fire. Okay, that's a byproduct. There's a lot of byproducts when you go through trials. And you lean on God. You, the stuff that he put in me back then, you're hearing now. You didn't hear it then because I was like, you know, help. But he helps those in trouble. He always does. Did that answer your question?
I think it did. So to make it really simple then, so every time I have another, I should just say, what's my problem?
Yeah. Why am I doing this? And then here's the thing. He'll tell you right away. And he'll tell you right away, but if you keep doing it, he'll stop telling you. It's kind of like you stop hearing because he's already told you. And he's like, you're not serious. So I'm going to go tend to somebody who's a little more serious. Call me when you're ready. He's not like we are. He doesn't need to repeat it 75 times. If you're still wailing or, you know, mine used to be swearing. Okay, I got delivered finally. You know, things would go bad and I'd be like a truck driver. And I'd be like, Lord, what is my problem? Well, it was demonic. It was actually a foul spirit. And I finally got delivered of that thing. But why do I do that, Lord? You know, I didn't get delivered instantly. I had to keep going back and bounding on the gates of heaven to figure it out because it was a hidden demon that was, you know, causing problems. Well, how can you have a demon? Listen, I wasn't born saved. I had a lot of open doors. You know, and I had to go through, and some things are hiders. If you're acting a certain way, probably you have oppression, possibly a demon. It could be a false mindset. But you know what? Let's not pretend we don't have it. Let's go after it and clean out the cupboards, okay? Let's grow up. How about that? Into all things. Anybody else? Was this too hard on you tonight?
No.
You got anything back there? You, anybody? No? Okay. I'm just looking around.
Right.
Father, we love you. And we thank you that you are a fun God. You're relational. You care about us in such a way that we open up our understanding to how much you care about us. Let us feel your love penetrate the walls of self-protection. Because a lot of us don't even know we have these walls up. We think that's part of our personality. Father, I'm asking you to sweep through, whether it be in a dream or a vision or open conversation or in the Word, sweep through and show us what you want us to work on with you. And I look forward to the testimonies. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. You can download more messages at our store from SpiritofGodWorldwide.com.